Welcome along to another edition of the D-Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. This week, my guest is Kate Lee, Chief Executive of the Alzheimer's Society here in the UK. We're going to be talking about the Society's recent advertising campaign, The Long Goodbye, the difficulties of getting those in power to take notice, and much more. Well, Kate, it's a pleasure to have you as my guest here on the D-Word. Plenty to talk about. Before we get into all of that, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and how you came to be CEO of the Alzheimer's Society?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Kate. I've been CEO of Alzheimer's Society for over 4 years now, so quite a while. I've worked my whole career in the charity sector, and I've worked for lots of different charities. And I've been chief exec of two different charities, a hospice group and a children's cancer charity. But my mum has Alzheimer's disease. She's had it for quite a long time. And my family have really struggled at times with some of the challenges that that's brought about for us, as well as there being some very good times. She's now in residential care and she's in the later stages of her disease. And it just felt like it would be a real vocational step to put all that experience I'd gained in charities, all that experience I've got being a chief exec, and pull that together into doing something that I feel so passionately about and personally affected by.
Yeah, a good deal of experience, both professionally and that lived experience is a very important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, hugely so. And I mean, it's been both a benefit and a burden, I think, at times. Certainly in the pandemic, over lockdown, when we couldn't visit my mom, I could only see her through the window of her care home. It was hugely, hugely stressful time. For me and for my family, it was my mum and dad's 60th wedding anniversary and my dad couldn't get in to see her, which he was incredibly upset about. And so we were dealing with lots of those challenges at the same time as I was kind of meeting with health ministers and lobbying about the importance of access to residential care homes, thinking about the issues and the implications for lockdown on families affected by dementia. So, yeah, at times it's been pretty full on having both of them, but I found them it's been a huge advantage to me understanding how it feels to be a dementia daughter.
Yeah, absolutely. Want to talk about The Long Goodbye, which was the recent campaign. Just for someone like me, I mean, someone has an idea at the beginning. That idea then suddenly appears in the middle of Coronation Street on an ad or whatever. I mean, how do we get from one to the other? What's kind of process?
Yeah, it's a much longer process for us. It might not feel it, but for those watching, I get that. So we know from a lot of the feedback we've received over a very long time that we all know this in the dementia world, there's lots and lots and lots of different dementia stories. There's lots of different perspectives on it. There's lots of different impacts of it. There are impacts on carers and wider family members. And of course, on those that have first got a diagnosis, those in the later stages of the diagnosis. And we'd heard a lot of those stories. And for a long time, I think we've been challenging ourselves about whether we have been telling the end of life story, whether we take the carer's perspective sometimes, or the wider family perspective. And also thinking a little bit about just still whether we were shifting the dial on public perception around dementia. And that's not those of us directly affected, but the wider world. We still only have 1 in 10 people know that dementia is the UK's biggest killer. Only about 30% of the UK population even know it's a disease that you die of. And we know that as a result of that, we still have quite a lot of ambivalence to dementia out there with our politicians, the big influences in our health systems. So we've been really thinking about how do we challenge some of that? How do we get people caring about that? Many people have heard this story off me, but I've had certainly an MP say to me that he gets more letters about B Health than he does about dementia and social care support. And we've got to shift the dial on that and get people caring about dementia as a topic, understanding just how devastating it can be in those later stages. But yeah, you know, we all know and see that there are also earlier stages of dementia where people are living very, you know, well, with very fulfilled lives. And that's, it's important we get both of those messages across. So we actually had a storyteller come forward who wanted to tell her very specific story about her perception on losing her mom. So she wrote that up with a script writer, which was the initial story. Then we went into quite wide consultation. So we consulted with lots and lots of different groups of people, including members of the public, to see how, whether it would shift the dial, whether it was enough to get people thinking and talking about dementia. And the other, I think, really important topic to do with a long goodbye is what success looked like for us. It was never a fundraising advert. It was never, ever designed to generate money. It's designed to start a national debate on dementia and get people understanding some of the tougher aspects of dementia, which is the reality, and one that we, I think, sometimes do shy away from sharing. But for a lot of carers, a lot of people living post-loss, a lot of people who are living with grief and bereavement whilst their loved one's still alive, is a tough story to tell. And I think I've tried very hard to make sure that Alzheimer's Society goes there with some of the difficult conversations that it's not easy for other people to have. Doesn't mean it's easy for us to have them either.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head to get people talking. Certainly, it's certainly done that. The only thing, I mean, my first impression was, I've got to be honest with you, I saw it, and my first impression, the words coming to my head was, I'm not sure. That was kind of my first impression of looking at it. I mean, when you saw the finished article, what was your impression? Did it change from the beginning to the end, or...?
Yeah, it did change a lot from the beginning to the end, actually. It developed. We developed some of the dialogue lines. We had some really good feedback on some aspects. I think you remember in the advert we talked about kind of, you know, she was the fashionista of the estate and, you know, that she died in that role. She died as the Queen of Christmas in that role. And even that had been a development because it was really important to us, and some really important feedback we did get from people living with dementia and carers at the time is that we didn't want to show the mother that had died as a burden. We didn't want to show miserable photos of her being, you know, helped upstairs or, you know, difficult within the bath. We wanted to show that she had been a full, vibrant, incredible, amazing life, wonderful woman. So actually, The Long Goodbye probably has the most positive portrayal of dementia in a weird way. I absolutely get that isn't how the advert was meant to land. It was meant to show the tough aspects of dementia, particularly for those living alongside it. But we really developed that as we went along. We developed that, making sure that we caught the spirit of a very vibrant, positive, you know, person who was going to be deeply missed.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
The UK Health Radio Awards 2024 are set for launch with nominations in a host of categories, including Dementia Support with the brand new Wendy Mitchell Award. All the details will be on the website at www.ukhealthradio.com, so do cast your vote. My guest on the podcast this week is Kate Lee from the Alzheimer's Society. We're talking about the Long Goodbye campaign. Yeah, I think, you know, the other word that came to my mind was original because I guess anybody that's sat there watching daytime TV sees what, you know, I'll use the word traditional for want of another one, a kind of traditional charity ad that says, this is the problem, this is us, this is what we want to do about it, and now can you fund us or can you volunteer? And at the end of the advert, you're left to make a quality judgment. Shall I give my money? Shall I give my time? Whereas a few people have come back to me about this one and said, well, yeah, it's very horrible, but at the end of it, we didn't really know what to do.
Yeah, that's a really good challenge, Pete, and one that we've definitely kind of reflected on. I mean, it partly because we wanted to kick off a debate. That's what good looked like for this advert, was get people talking about it. And, you know, we wanted people talking about, well, I don't know, so what? If you've followed up from the advert onto our website, for people who really, you know, wanted to follow up, people that were upset, we knew some people would be upset by the advert. We didn't go into it blindly thinking that we wouldn't, you know, deeply upset some people. And we knew that, and we talked about that. And we had some groups of people with dementia that in the consultation flagged that that would be a concern. And we heard that as well. And all the follow-up from that, so everything on our website, our supporter line information, was much more proactive about what you could do and do now. What we didn't want to do, and I think it was really important, is we didn't want to confuse trying to get a debate on dementia, trying to get people to think about the complexity of this disease, to get people a bit annoyed and a bit angry, because we want decision makers to listen. We want policy makers going into this general election. We need people to care about dementia. The information we've got coming out in Dementia Action Week next week about the state of dementia care across the UK will be really shocking for some people. We've still got a government that thinks it's acceptable to have a target of 66% for people diagnosed with dementia. That means we're accepting one in three people will never know what's causing their cognitive impairment. It's not acceptable. So in some ways, not putting an ask on the end of the advert was part of that as well. We wanted to get people thinking, well, don't know what to do now, but at least they're thinking something. And actually, people were incredibly generous in response to the advert, which is quite strange because we weren't expecting to be. But many people did actually go online and consciously seek out our fundraising support, which, you know, was incredibly kind and generous as well, but that wasn't the purpose of the ad.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a real balance here, isn't there? And I think some people felt perhaps at the beginning that the balance had gone too far because they didn't have your logical explanation that you've just given us of where it's all coming from. And I guess it's very difficult because if you give that logical explanation at the beginning, it kind of removes some of the impact that the ad might have. So you're almost sort of devil in deep blue sea there, I guess.
I think that describes the entire advert, devil in deep blue sea, I think. Oh, my goodness. It has been challenging. What I have said openly and publicly is that we know also this advert was very upsetting for some people, and certainly some people who have been early diagnosed, and for you know, numbers of people around the UK that are living really well with their dementia. And I work with many of them every day, and I find them deeply motivating and inspiring. You know, they're incredible folks. We never set this advert up to hurt them. And I know that we have caused some hurt and upset, and I have apologised to people for that, you know, and I would never hurt people. You know, I look at my own mum in her situation and I really get it. But equally, I can't live with dementia being the current state it is in the UK, in our consideration of it, the level and lack of priority for dementia. You know, nothing's going to change if we keep doing what we've always done. And I am a bit of an activist. I am a rebel. I think those that work closely with me know that I want change, and I'm in a privileged position to drive it, and I'm gonna change some things. And we won't get everything right, and sometimes we will, sometimes we won't. The advert, the initial reports on the advert look like it's been very successful in changing public opinion, which we obviously wanted to do, but more about that in the coming weeks and months.
Just, do you think it is the right time? Because, you know, changing tack a little bit, we saw the post office example, what outraged members of the public can do. Maybe you've hit the right time here for, you know, a little bit of public action from outraged members of the public.
Yeah, that's what we need. And you know, even, you know, for, we need stuff that causes debate and discussion. You know, this was a TV advert that got coverage in The Observer, The Times, you know, coverage for dementia. That's what we're talking about, coverage and importance of dementia, getting that, getting people out there debating it. You know, we got it on local radio stations. We were having discussions that were drawing attention to the cause of dementia because we need change. And at the moment, too many people we know still think it's something that affects granny in the last few months of her life. You know, she makes put the iron in the fridge. We all have a bit of a laugh about it. You know, that is not this disease. That is an incredibly harmful way to talk about this disease. It's a disease that we all know can affect people from early onset, you know, from very early on in their lives, and can be devastating. And there is still no cure. And unfortunately, if you get a dementia diagnosis, unless you die of something else, it is what you're going to die of. And it's the UK's biggest killer. And it is given absolutely scant attention by the UK government. Social care is broken. We need a proper social care, funded social care that offers personalized care and support to individuals so that that, you know, ambition to live well into the much later stages of dementia can be realized. And we need a proper workforce to support that. We need it to be affordable. We need it to be accessible, and we need it to be decent quality. And unless we get everybody shouting that, we just won't get anywhere.
And, you know, I guess one way to do that is to have some kind of national debate on the subject. Sometimes people say to me, and sometimes I have this view that a lot of charities are kind of siloed a little bit and sometimes don't work together. And it seems kind of time is right now for everybody in dementia world, as we've been calling it, to actually get together. Let's have that debate about, well, what did happen to that dementia strategy? You know, why have Canada got a really nice one and we haven't? Those kind of things, you know?
Yeah. And asking for that, and asking, you know, we know that the government, you know, spends more time talking about cancer diagnosis rates, 28 days from initial symptoms to getting a diagnosis. You know, these targets, they might not be hit, but the ministers are asking about them constantly, and it drives change and improvements in dementia. In cancer, there are proper data sets. There is a National Cancer Patient Experience Survey, which captures information about the quality of people's cancer journey that ministers see. We have none of that in dementia. And I worry that what happens as a result of that is that we say, there's no information, there's no data, there's no debate. Therefore, it's easy to have your head in the sand as a decision maker about what will need money and proper investment to, you know, improve the situation, improve the lives, and stop dementia devastating families.
Yeah, you know, 2 years ago I had a cancer diagnosis, and so I've gone down that route. I'm fine now, which is good. So, and I think that was a real marked point in my life when I suddenly noticed, having been involved doing this show for 5 years, that suddenly, wait a minute, I'm being treated this way, and yet suddenly there's another path over there that doesn't really exist. And it was almost quite a shocker to me, even, you know, with my experience of doing the show for 3 years, that it was so different.
Yeah, I look at one of the things that I find really stark is if you get a, you know, sometimes I appreciate that the comparators between cancer and dementia aren't helpful. I think now we have our new disease modifying treatments coming on board for dementia, it actually becomes more useful to think about them being similar, because how fast we get people into those treatments becomes more similar to a cancer diagnosis, and the importance of a timely cancer diagnosis becomes similar to the importance of a timely dementia diagnosis. One of the things that really shocked me, I'd never thought about it before I came into the dementia world, is that when you get cancer and then you're put under a consultant, maybe for your chemotherapy, and you're under an oncologist, they can say to you, hey, do you want to trial the latest clinical trial? We're trialing a new version of this chemotherapy. Would you like to be on that trial? Because generally what happens is you get your diagnosis of dementia, you maybe get through a memory assessment clinic, get your subtype diagnosis, but generally you'll then either refer back to your GP or you just have your annual assessment. You're not working with any of those healthcare professionals to say, we need to get people like you helping us trial new drugs, new treatments, new technology. And so that number of people that are available to help with dementia research in the UK is really, really low. And we're really excited at Alzheimer's Society. We're just investing in 10 research nurses who are going to work as a pilot around the country, just working with families, with people who've got a dementia diagnosis, asking them if they will support with research trials so that we can improve that quality of research, not just clinical research, but also, you know, social studies, looking at social research, looking at all that information that we then know drives decision makers to say, yeah, okay, that's best practice, or there's a solution, let's put some money behind that.
Those decision makers, I mean, you know, they must be banging your head against a brick wall at times. I'm sure you feel very frustrated. But, you know, you produce something like The Long Goodbye, you give them all the statistics, you say everything you've said to me. What's the gun? You know, if I was a rational decision maker, I'd be going, well, hey, we need to do something about this. But that doesn't seem to be happening for some strange reason.
Well, we've got more information coming out next week about this that's really stark, about the cost of dementia to the state. So how much it's costing now, how much it's likely to be costing within the next 5-10 years. If we do nothing, dementia will bring down our social care system. And so now we are starting to get, you know, people in, not just politicians, but also people senior in the National Health Service, senior in social care, senior in the new integrated care services, starting to say, hey, wait on a minute, there's something here. If we really focus on getting our dementia care right, let's take an integrated care service. If we really work on getting it right for people with dementia, often their needs are so complex between that health and social care need. Surely that would be like a bellwether for getting it right for everyone else. And we're saying, yes, you know, start with people with dementia, young people with learning difficulties, disabilities are in a similar position. Work with some of these really complex groups. Get their integration between their health and social care needs right. If you've got systems that do that, if it works for dementia, it's going to work for most of the conditions. And we are starting slowly to see local integrated care systems writing dementia plans for their areas, which is incredible. I was hearing about a brilliant program yesterday in the Northeast where they're really putting dementia at the forefront of their development to see whether they can really shift the dial on all their integrated care by really getting it right in the dementia space, which is very exciting and desperately needed. So we are getting some breakthrough. We are getting people talking about it. Lots of people tell me more people are talking about dementia than they've ever known in the past, but loads more to be done.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
There are now over 40 shows available on UK Health Radio, dealing with every aspect of health. As well as the 24-hour broadcast, they're also available for listen again and download at www.ukhealthradio.com. Each show is also available in podcast format, so no excuses for missing out on your favourites. This week, I'm chatting to Kate Lee, Chief Executive of the Alzheimer's Society. I mean, I started off in career in public health and, you know, the word dementia was never mentioned for a start. I can certainly say that. We've now, you know, we've got the 12 modifiable risk factors, which not only go across dementia, they go across heart health, they go across all sorts of stuff. And it's frustration for me. Why I'm a member of public health groups on LinkedIn and all this kind of stuff. I never hear a public health colleague from the past talking about dementia, coronary heart disease, diabetes, obesity, whatever you like. But I'm talking about dementia. And there's me thinking, well, with these 12 modifiable risk factors, surely one that's good for one is good for the other. Join them together.
Absolutely. What's good for the heart is good for the head. I think that is an area that we do need to really push on into. I'm really interested in understanding the link between if we start with the new, if we get a blood test for dementia, which we're obviously working on very hard at the moment, we get a simple blood test that shows certainly for Alzheimer's disease, I should say, rather than broader dementia, but that shows amyloid in the blood. And these tests will develop very quickly once they come to market. You know, improvements will be very quick. We may start within the foreseeable future diagnosing people with Alzheimer's disease before they're symptomatic. And then what are the needs and what are the support needs of those people? And actually at those points, I think it's really important organizations like Alzheimer's Society and others are helping people understanding those 12 risks, understanding what they can do to keep well and living well, you know, and healthy. And, you know, doing everything they can to just work with their bodies to slow down the risk where possible. And then into the future, you know, won't it be great when we've got population level gene screening where we can tell people who is likely to, as we have for heart disease and other things at the moment, we can tell people who's likely to be higher at risk of Alzheimer's disease, particularly than others, and really hammer home those prevention messages where. And we know that people start to listen to those prevention messages once they know they're at risk rather than when they believe they will live forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the media, you know, you're always getting the headlines. You know, a story I had was there was a headline once that said, eat more strawberries to cut your dementia risk. Can't remember which paper it was in. It was a few years ago. And a friend living with dementia almost phoned his wife and said, please go down to Sainsbury's and buy some more strawberries. Now, you know, there's responsible parts of the media that do a good story or whatever, but how do you escape from those kind of eat more strawberries headlines, which, you know, don't do anybody any favours?
I think the week I started at Alzheimer's Society, the very week I started, I think the headline was, if you can't smell popcorn, you get in dementia. And I remember thinking, shall I go and smell some popcorn? And I just thought, hey, pull yourself together. I mean, lots of these studies come from small scale studies where, you know, and we obviously, along with colleagues in other dementia research areas, do a lot of work to peer review some of these pieces to try and pull out the ones where there is some value. There's often a nugget of something in there. You know, there's been lots of discussions about you know, and increasing evidence around certain minerals and supplements and the advantages to brain development from them. You know, so some of these things are just pulled out as kind of crazy comparators. And we can only do what we can. We try to be very honest. I think one of the reasons for a lot of those stories in the past is there was just no hope. You know, people were desperate for some hope, desperate for something, you know, when you... I can see it in myself. You know, my grandma died of Alzheimer's disease. My mom has Alzheimer's disease. You know, you're desperate for a silver bullet. Luckily, with our disease-modifying treatments coming online now, lecanemab, tocanemab, and I'm sure next-generation drugs coming on board, they're not the holy grail. Not everyone's going to be able to receive them. For those people living with a diagnosis now, they're probably not going to be able to do very much. But certainly for immediate generations coming on board, we have some real positive signs of hope for the future. And that's exciting too. You know, I sit with my team at Alzheimer's disease and we've been doing some long-term planning this week, looking at 2050 and really looking at, like, how could we really take Alzheimer's disease out by 2050? No, certainly if it's not for me, what will life be like for my children? And certainly what will life be like for my grandchildren? And I feel there is hope. There is a very hopeful agenda. We need to start work on the other causes of dementia sooner rather than later. It's taken us 30 years of dementia research to get here in Alzheimer's. We need to start work on those other causes of dementia sooner rather than later. We can't get to 2050 and have Alzheimer's, hopefully a thing of the past, but have, because of the aging population, have more people with the other dementias than we've got now. So loads and loads to do in this space. I think we're all going to be needed, sadly, for a long while yet, but we'll be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a testimony to the fact you can ask that question, could we get rid of Alzheimer's by 20? You're actually asking the question, so that's got to be positive to start with. And I think the media, we need to do some work as well. This is still the UK's only weekly internet radio show that has dementia as its focus. We've done nearly 240 editions. The BBC won't touch it. Large media organisations won't touch it. So there's us little guys in our back bedrooms doing what we can. But, that's a sense of frustration as well, that, you know, this should be on a national stage.
Yeah, I agree. That's all feeds into my point, really, about just the priority and how people are seeing, valuing dementia, understanding the challenges caused by dementia, understanding the devastation caused by dementia. And unfortunately, we can't get that across unless we talk about it. And I'm really conscious that's in direct kind of challenge juxtaposed to also wanting people to get that diagnosis and know that there is tons of help and support from organizations like Alzheimer's Society. You know, we have our help services, our support lines, our incredible dementia advisors, you know, our online dementia forum, brilliant podcasts like this, radio shows, like this, you know, that there's tons out there. So like, you're not alone facing this. There is huge numbers of people who've gone before who have left their learning to be accessed, and, you know, people going through it now who are there to support and hold, you know, a hand, a guiding arm through this journey now, and a huge army of people working, whether it's in policy, campaigning, research, innovation, to make it better for the future. But it's just so hard to talk about that when people just don't understand the basics of the disease. So I think the more we can do, the more Alzheimer's Society can do to just get people talking about it. We're hoping it raises the tide for every boat.
Well, you certainly have done that, Kate. Final question, it's election year, must be difficult. You've got one lot in who've got plenty to think about. You've got another lot who want to take over. You've got a kind of balance between the two, I guess.
Yeah, my view is I've got some very, very clear asks about what we need in dementia. We need improvement in that diagnosis rate. We need the health system ready to be able to give those drugs. We must get people coming forward for an early diagnosis, and we must have our social care system that's fit for purpose for people living with dementia. And I don't care what your colours are, as long as you commit to that. Both you all, I just want that. And it's a straightforward, simple ask. We're not going to overcomplicate this. You know, we need proper investment into dementia research, a functioning social care system, proper diagnosis, and an NHS that can deliver the treatments we've got coming through. That's what we need.
Well, Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you here on The D Word. Do keep in touch. Hopefully we can do this again in a few months' time. And thanks for being my guest.
You're welcome. Absolutely love to join you. And thanks again to you and all your incredible listeners.
Thanks to Kate for such an honest and informative chat, and hopefully we can touch base with her again here on the podcast in the near future. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon for some more dementia chat right here on the D Word podcast.